Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D. Came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
Welcome to Deeper Truth, Holy Name of Jesus. Preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? Well, today is December 15th, 2022. It's the Feast of Blessed Mary Frances Xerivier, and my blog, The World of Politics, that first Christmas day, and that should be interesting. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, that she may set free whatever soul she pleases, according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the Mass said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home, and within my family. Amen. O good Jesus, according to your great mercy, have mercy on me. O most merciful Jesus, by your precious blood which you did shed for sinners, I beseech you to wash away all my iniquities and to look graciously upon me, a poor and unworthy sinner, as I call upon your holy name. Therefore, O Jesus, do save me for your holy name's sake. O God, who did appoint your only begotten Son to be the Savior of mankind and did command his name to be called Jesus, mercifully grant that we may enjoy the vision of him in heaven, whose holy name we venerate on earth, with the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. Blessed be the most holy name of Jesus without end. And Blessed Mary Frances Xerivier. This woman, who once wanted to become a Trappistine nun, was instead led by God to establish a community of sisters who care for the sick and aged in the United States and throughout the world. Born into a distinguished family in Ekion, then ruled by Prussia, was from France. Frances ran the household after her mother's death and established a reputation for generosity to the poor. Her desire to enter a religious order was thwarted by the early death of her mother in 1832, when Frances was only 13 years old. While she was perhaps not prominent in the eyes of the world, she enjoyed the distinction of extraordinary supernatural privileges from the very days of her youth. She was obliged to remain at home and attend to the household, though she did not let these circumstances prevent her from caring in a very special way for the poor and the sick. In 1844, she became a secular Franciscan. The next year, she and four companions established a religious community devoted to caring for the poor. They found a dwelling at the old city gates of St. James and took possession of their first religious abode on the eve of the Feast of St. Francis, 1845. Prayer and works of mercy were their principal occupation. In 1851, the Sisters of the Poor of St. Francis were approved by the local bishop. The community soon spread. The first U.S. foundation was made in 1858. The Empress of Poverty and Penance should mark even our chapels and churches and be their distinctive feature. That's what she'd say. Mother Frances visited the United States in 1863 and helped her sisters nurse soldiers wounded in the Civil War. She visited the United States again in 1868. She encouraged Philip, however, as he was establishing the Brothers of the Poor of St. Francis. When Mother Frances died, there were 2,500 members of her community worldwide. They are still engaged in operating hospitals and homes for the aged. Mother Mary Frances was beatified in 1974. One is that we're rich when one has nothing, and another is as it were poor when he has great riches, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7. This passage of Scripture fits the servant of God, Frances, who with all her heart espoused holy poverty and thus came into the possession of the grace of God. John chapter 15, verse 14 and 17 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." So lavish was her liberality that one of the old servants once remarked, "One of these days the child will have dragged everything out of the house." I guess you could say that the house became pretty bare. Later, she was an active member of several benevolent societies of women and also of what was known as St. John's Soup Kitchen, a charitable enterprise organized to feed the needy. And words to live by coming from Blessed Mary Frances Cherivier. One is, as it were, rich, which one has nothing. And another is, as it were, poor, when he has great riches. And she said, "If we do this faithfully and zealously, we will experience the truth of the words of our Father, St. Francis. who says that love lightens all difficulties and sweetens all bitterness. We will likewise partake of the blessing which Saint Francis promised to all his children, both present and future, after having admonished them to love one another even as he had loved them and continues to love them. So that's the story of Blessed Mary Frances Schriever. And God bless. May God be praised through his holy Catholic saints. Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Tide o'er all the earth, ye who sing creed. Merry Christmas, everyone. Stephen Sharp Nelson here representing the Piano Guys. We wanted to take a minute to express our gratitude for everyone involved in this project, all the YouTubers that brought their talent into this thing to make it possible. You've got to watch this video over here. It's called Share the Gift. It's what all of this project has been about. And for us, the Christmas season is so special. We believe the purpose of life is to be happy. And for us in our own lives, that happiness has come from following the teachings of Jesus Christ, holding family extra close, and loving others more than ourselves. It's not easy, but it's so worth it. And Christmas so beautifully brings all of these three things together. So go out and make someone else's Christmas season extra special by doing something anonymous for somebody in need. Do whatever it is that you feel you want to do to share the gift of Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from Deeper Truth. And now my blog, The World of Politics, That First Christmas Day. Politics and religion have a way to help keep time and history. A great example of this is the first Christmas when Jesus was born, December 25th, 2 BC. Because of the breakdown of the Julian and Gregory calendars, there have been some long-held beliefs that have recently come into question. Traditionally, it has been believed that King Herod had died sometime in the spring of either 5 or 4 BC, which is why some thought Christ was born before this time, as Scripture is clear that Herod died after Jesus was born. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 and 19 tells the story how the Holy Family escaped to Egypt. Herod's order to massacre the infant boys 2 years and younger, and finally, his death. The Jewish historian Josephus wrote that Herod died following an eclipse that some pointed to one such known eclipse that took place on March 4th, B.C. Josephus does not give any dates, just the event of an eclipse, so historians commonly believed the March eclipse of 4 B.C. to satisfy the historical record. Astronomers had offered possible dates when eclipses took place before the Jewish Passover. In 5 B.C., one took place on March 23rd, just 29 days before Passover. In 4 B.C., another eclipse took place on March 13th, 29 days before Passover. The next possible eclipse is January 10th, 1 B.C., which was 12 and a half weeks before Passover. Josephus informs his readers of the events happening between the eclipse and the Passover. In his writing, Josephus gives a 12-week separation between the eclipse and Passover, which fits perfectly with the January 10, 1 B.C. eclipse. January 10 would be in the middle of winter time, in which Herod went to Jericho for comfort as he was suffering of chronic kidney disease, complicated by a particularly nasty case of gangrene. Josephus gives a couple of vindications that should be evaluated when studying Christ's birth in relation to Herod's death. He states that Herod had a reign of 37 years from the time he was placed as a king by Rome until his death. Also, Josephus identified 34 years after the death of Antigonus, which happened just after Herod took Jerusalem. Scholars tried to stretch Josephus' statements to fit the March 13th, 4 B.C. date, but here are some objections to that time. Herod took Jerusalem late in 36 B.C. Josephus says Herod's siege of Jerusalem was during a sabbatical year, and 36 BC was a sabbatical year. Otherwise, there would need to be 7 years before or after 36. An important observation, all sabbatical years ended on Yom Kippur. Josephus said, Herod's capture of Jerusalem coincided with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur. This event, the Jews would remember it well, for it was an outrage to press a siege on Yom Kippur. And Flavius Josephus was a first century Jewish historian and apologist of priestly and royal ancestry who survived and recorded the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and later settled in Rome. Josephus said it was 27 years to the day that Pompey committed his abominations, which he did in 63 BC. This gives again 36 BC for Herod's capture of Jerusalem. If we use the common ascension method of counting years of rule, the date to start his 34 years is the first of Nisan in 35 BC. So Herod's 34th year of rule would start with the first of Nisan in 2 BC and end with first of Nisan in 1 BC. Now 34 years after 35 BC would give 1 BC for the death and reign of Herod. His death soon after the eclipse of January 10, 1 BC. King Herod had three sons, Archelaus and Antiochus and Philip. Seemed to have their reigns starting in 4 BC, which is why some scholars look to Herod's death to be 4 BC. Archelaus and Antipas were sons of Herod by Mothras, a Samaritan. Philip was a son by Cleopatra of Jerusalem. Archelaus, Antipas, and Philip countered their reigns as starting also in 4 BC. However, antiquated reigns was common, as coins show, and Herod gave his kingdom to them before his death. It was tactical to antedate the reigns of these three to the death of the two royal sons, Alexander and Aristobulus, who were of Hasmonean descent, so that Archelaus and Antipas and Philip would seem successors to these two. And the reason was intensified by the fact that Herod had been demoted by Augustus in 4 BC. Herod had sent troops to Arabia to end activities of robbers and to collect a large debt owed him by the Arabian ruler. Salius, an Arabian, misinformed Augustus about Herod's actions. Herod really had permission from the governors of Syria for that mission. Augustus wrote to Herod, whereas of old he, Augustus, had used him as his friend, he should now use him as his subject. This was politically devastating. He had to have Caesar's representative for Syria hear the case against Alexander and Aristobulus, and the trial was held in Beirut. Later, before executing them, Antipater, Varius, governor of Syria, heard the case. Also, in 4 BC, Varius began the joint rule of Antipater with Herod. With all this taking place in the family, it is easy to see why scholars would confuse Herod's death with his being demoted by Caesar Augustus in 4 BC. Herod's death would be more identifiable. The Josephus description of Herod's death between an eclipse, January 10, 1 BC, and Passover. This places Christ's birth right at the December 25, 2 BC, as any time before this date, 5, 4, 3 BC, would not fit. Since we are talking about the world of politics of that first Christmas season, we know from an inscription from Pamphylogonia of Asia Minor, 3 BC, all the people took an oath of allegiance to Caesar Augustus. The same oath is also reported by the Armenian historian Moses of Corinne and by the later historian Orosius. Augustus was scheduled to receive the great title of Pater Patria on February 5, 2 BC. So the actual governor of Palestine, probably Verus, would have had to go to Rome for the festivities, and since sailing on the Mediterranean stopped about November 1 and did not resume until spring, he must have gone in the early fall of 3 BC. But Quirinius was nearby and just finished a successful war against the Homoondinenses. So he was left as acting governor. And so some translations, St. Luke does not use the noun governor, but the principle governing. Therefore, it is highly possible, even probable, that Quirinius would have been acting as governor for the implementation of the census in late 2 BC. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Wow. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Luke chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. So you can see from the writings and the history given by Flavius Josephus a pretty detailed description of the politics of the time that was surrounding Herod and how it all comes together with this eclipse, January 10, 1 BC, and before Passover. So it fits perfectly with Jesus' birth, December 25th, 2 BC. And so, that led to our silent night. and blessed was that night. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from heaven, from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." And that's what they did. But as those angels, we won't see them specifically, but they are there at Mass. They are with us in the Mass. The angels. Oh, man, what glory. What glory. The Mass. We should make the Mass the center of our life. And where we are with the angels in the presence of God Almighty, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Wow. So be aware that angels are there at Mass, but we are not left alone. God is with us, and he has his angels, to include our guardian angels.
Near misses all around me.
And angels watching over me. And so this will end today's Holy Name of Jesus. Preparing for December 25th. Are you ready? So God bless you all. And the season of Advent, preparing for the King. And so we are being made ready. The church is trying to prepare us for this great event that we're celebrating, getting ready to celebrate Christmas. So we will end today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May your Christmas fill you with much joy. It fill you with great joy and peace. For you and your family. Amen.